So, amen. Amen. When you're used to being around family, it can be a difficult proposition when they're not, you're not able to be there. So we thank God for them being here in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Glory be to God. We're going to, I really wanted to talk about, but I'm going to be in prayer about maybe just having some meetings outside of service to talk about LCA. I still want to talk about that and get some input on that. And it's really crucial because really the Holy Spirit through Word of Life is really going to be the foundation of the rules, or however you want to say that, govern, LCA. I mean, we're going to, you know, whoever else comes in is going to come in as join in with what's already there. You know, we're going to set these rules, and, I'm excited about that, but after last Wednesday, you just realize that we need to really have some meetings, just kind of pick our brains and let the Holy Spirit kind of lead and gather some things together and really work on some things to kind of nail things down, because we're living in a different environment, a different time. You know, like when the Lord first gave this to me, I believe the Lord did. It was 1987. You know, we're in a whole different world from that now.
Amen.
Well, that was 32 years ago. It's a way different world. So I'll never forget it, September of 1987. So now that we believe we're getting closer to starting, this is a different world. People are so happy. People are demanding their rights. You know, and you know, if you don't agree with me, then something's wrong with you, and we're going to sue until you do believe in, like I believe in. I mean, it's just a different mindset, you know, just not that. So we need to be on the same page and be all in one mind and things of that nature. So I want to get together and have some meetings. I don't know if we can, maybe steal some Fridays. I don't know, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, to do that. Yeah, you know, because I think it's really necessary. And if you have an hour of your time, should be no more than that, something like that. I mean, if it goes longer, fine. But I really, you know, and if Papa and Grandma can make it out, that'd be great too. You know, we'd love to hear. And there's a lot of wisdom in you too that we like to hear. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we just need it. It's a different world than where we're used to. In Jesus' name. All right. So many moons ago, we started talking about judging our thoughts and intentions of the heart. And again, just kind of refresh. I think we took two Wednesdays off from that. We talked about LCA on both those Wednesdays. So let's kind of review. We talked about Hebrews 4 and 12. Let's go back to there first, kind of do a little review there. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right. Verse 12 says, for the word of God is living, King James says, quick, which means alive and constantly active, and active, which means that it is operative and energized and effective and sharper than any two-edged sword. I personally don't get tired of reading that ever. It and matter of fact, you can hardly read that and just go past it, because when you think of how much under attack the word is, you can, and you see this, you can see why Satan is coming at the word, because it is the power. It's alive. It's energized. It is active. That's what works on the hearts of men. That's what makes, that's what sets the captives free. That's what makes a serial killer a child of God. You know, removing murderous, you know, just intentions and demonic thoughts. Only the word can do that. Amen. No amount of pills, no political legislation can do anything like that. Amen. Only the word. The word is what builds marriages and hold them together for 31 years. Or hold a church together for going on 19 years in the midst of one of the most dynamic social landscapes ever in our history. Didn't realize that till right now that God has done that. Think about churches that have started and failed since we've started. Given in, or the ones who are still going, but they've given in to the world. We're still standing. And why? Because the word of God, only the word of God can produce this. Only. Amen. It is alive. It is sharper. It is powerful than any two-edged sword. And piercing, which means to penetrate as far as division of the immortal soul and spirit. Just think about the soul and spirit. We have no concept of that at all. But the fact that the sword is so sharp that it can pierce even to the immortal, our immortal nature. The part of us that is spirit being. It's amazing that it can penetrate that. We read that, we go right by that. Well, why can the word of God do that? Why can the word of God dip into our spiritual nature, our aspect of us, and divide that? Because the word is spirit. Make sense? The word is spirit. Lord God, help us to get this. Help us to understand, Father God, that the word is not just ink on pulp, known as paper. That's the natural physical conduit, if you will, the tool that you're using to get your word to us is ink and wood. But that's not your word in a sense, because that's dead in a sense. But the words, the spirit behind what's on this ink and wood is where the power is. Help us to get this, Father. Not get caught up into the natural part of the word of what it's on. In Jesus' name, amen. Did you understand that prayer? We can get caught up that it's just because the Bible never walks, doesn't breathe. You follow what I'm saying? Because what I'm saying the Bible does, I mean this physical book. Amen. And we tend to get caught up in this. Well, what is that going to do? You know, my kid is lying on the floor bleeding. Or we've had this horrible news. The word of God is spiritual. Because we are natural, finite beings, you understand? He chose this method to get it to us. He couldn't do it. He could have did it some other way, but this is the way he chose to do it. But what the devil tries to do is to have us lock in on this, these physical natural things, and what that will do, it will inhibit us from believing the power that's really there, or the life that's in the word of God. There's life in the word. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And that's when the Lord said, now name the church Word of Life. That's what Word of Life came from, that very verse. Because there's life in this word.
Amen.
Yeah. You want to speak in tongues, then, Miss Palmer? Oh, watch yourself. He said it's alive. Who's the commentator behind the writer of Hebrews? God is. This is God's own commentary about his word. Can someone please cut that? Yes, please. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So say I thee. Yes, sir. Please. You just unplug it. Yeah. Cut all that. Please. Thank you. Unless mother or papa is cold, then I got to bow down. Amen, amen. Papa, are you good?
I'm good.
Mama? Are you comfortable? Are you comfortable?
Am I what?
Comfortable.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, all right. They get precedence. Okay, but lock back in. Do you understand? We've read this. How many times have we read this at Word of Life? Probably 100 times. But what the Lord is stopping us again and again is like, hey, listen to what I'm saying about my word. My word is alive. Why? Because it comes from me. It's spirit because it comes from me. Jesus said the words that I'm speaking to, they are spirit and they are life. They're spirit and they are life. Spirit and life. That's why it reaches the immortal part of man, soul and spirit. That's why you just keep praying over your son. That's why. Because the spirit is what's jacked up. It's just the body is just being used to manifest what's broken in the spirit. That's why you keep praying for your sons.
Amen.
You keep praying for your sister, your sister and your daughter, and keep praying for them cousins and so forth, uncles and so forth. Keep praying for those close to you. Keep praying. Spirit is what's broken. The problem with the world is sin. S-I-N. Not politics and things like that. It's sin. That's why the world is broken. That's why politics is as it is. I know this is ice to Eskimos, but maybe... when I hear it, it just reminds me, don't get caught up in all of that. Don't get caught up in all of that. Because all that is a distraction to the real thing. Father God, save this person. Save that person. Bring your word.
Amen.
Because that's what's spirit and that's what's life.
Amen.
I keep talking about Chris and Glenn's testimony. I give their testimony probably more than they give it. Probably not, but you know what I'm saying? I give it that much. Dead yard, graveyard, I'm talking about buried 6 feet under, dead marriage.
Oh,
Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm going to need an interpreter in here real quick from this phone. Sister Phyllis, I'm almost shot to tell you. Better watch yourself. I need that interpreter. 2.5 to 3 years, dead. Anybody tell you that marriage is over? She with him, he with her. And the kids scattered all over. A family broken, torn apart. I told you the Lord gave me their example. The visual that he gave me was they were on freeway at a high speed. Bam, they got hit and threw everybody out of the car. They were scattered all over the freeway. Because that's what they were scattered all over the freeway of life.
Yes.
She's there with him. He's there with her. Kids scattered. And Chris wanders into Kroger somewhere and happens to see Judy. Now I'm going to tell you about God's sovereignty and his providence. Chris could have been anywhere. Judy could have been anywhere.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? But God knew before the foundation of the world that they will meet at that same time. Oh, I bet. Interpretation? You got that? That's right. See, God is good. That's interpretation. So he asked her, what y'all doing? Y'all still touching the touch group? What y'all doing? You know, he kind of made a joke out of it. Y'all still touching touch group and touching each other? What y'all doing? He said, no, we're the star of the church. We got a church, something like this. In my mother's basement. Well, who the pastor? He said, Greg. You mean Paul, don't you? Y'all know Chris was one of the culprits of that song. Chris said, you mean Paul, don't you? He said, no, Greg, because he Paul had ministered to Chris. I'm going to tell you something. My brother ministered to several people. When they find out he's not saved, they not even going to church, they would be blown away. He talked to whoever listened.
Amen.
He was the first at the church. He'd get on his bike, leave football practice. He was all the first at the church. Period. I get emotional about that. He was all in. So I prayed for him for years and years. Had his Bible, singing songs. He was unashamed. He was quarterback. He was known. He was an honor roll student. He didn't mind sharing the gospel. He spoke to whoever, Inkster, Robichaud. There's folks in the kingdom, but believe in the kingdom now, some are even a pastor, because Paul, through Brother Paul, need nowhere to be found. Keep your pray right now. Brother Sister Lynn, we're going to pray for Paul Craig Harris. How about
this?
Jesus. After football practice in the locker room, bam, he hitting them up. He just was out there, man. That's how young Chris. Chris Allen starts. They weightlift, throw him football, whatever. Because they're both, you know, Chris receiver and my brother's quarterback. He talking about the word. He would talk about the word all the time. So when he saw, I'm a silly one. I'm a silly doing whatever, you know. So when it came down to Judy telling him about the church, he thought, it's Paul. You know, Judy just made a mistake. Because Paul wanted him to talk to me about the word. And our neighbor two doors down, same thing. Paul was the golden child. He was. And when the neighbor down the street, my mother said, we started church in our grade. She said, you mean Paul, don't you? My mother know her son. If anybody know her son, a mother know the son, you know. But she won't all halfway argue with my. No, you mean Paul, don't you? She said, no, it's great. She told him, Paul don't even go to church. And she just shut up. She was stuck. She was shocked. I didn't even remember when the transition happened. To being the first one there. If nobody was there, he was there first.
Yeah.
He get on his bike, leave from the football field into high school, get on the bike, go straight to the church. But we're praying this boy back into the kingdom. Not back, but there. Remember, he went out from us through that never was of us. But that doesn't mean he can't be of us.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, ma'am. I respect that. That's a word. I'm going to take that as a word back there, young lady. Prayer changes. Thank God. I thank God for the knowledge. Because when I learned that, yes, God has ordained the ends, we thought that we didn't realize he ordained the means to that end. And that's where we come in. God said, pray. And he said, pray without ceasing.
Amen.
Don't you give up. Don't you give out, and don't you give in.
Amen.
I've been praying. I prayed for Judy. Judy prayed, cried, and prayed. One time I prayed, so I was crying, just crying. I cried, slobbing crying. It's just something that just came over me. I was walking up the stairs and about to come. I was on the landing and then the next two steps into the kitchen. And right there just broke down, just praying, please save her. And here she is today.
Amen.
God works through prayer. K Keep praying for your loved ones.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
No matter how long.
Amen.
That's what the word said. What kind of word? The word of God. What kind of word is that? That's quick, alive, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it is spirit and life. And it is so sharp, this spirit, this spiritual entity is so sharp that it can divide soul and spirit. That's a deep concept. I ain't even trying to get into what all that means. My Lord and my God. Because it's really not necessary, I really don't think, to just let you know that it is, it penetrates, is the idea.
Right.
Not about defining, that's one thing I've learned that hermeneutically speaking, there's something you'll need to break it down because you're missing the point. The point is just penetrate, and it penetrates so deep that it's, that it divides soul and spirit and joint and marrow. It penetrates the immortal portion of man as well as the physical part of man. There's no part that the word can't work on. That's what it's talking about. That's why I get offended when they say, ooh, so-and-so got some real bad mind situations going on. You know, it's going to take, you know, word of God is true, but she going to need a specialist or he going to need... We just talk about, you know, they just dismiss the word. Like, no, you can't, no, Pastor, you can't really help this one now. You're going to need somebody special. As if I'm just going to give opinion. I'm going to give them the word. The word will fix your child. You don't need to take them anywhere else.
Yes.
Well, they cutting. You know, they cutting themselves. You know, that's, they need therapy. They need the word.
Amen.
We get out and talk about the word of God. Now, I'm not saying that psychologists, definitely not psychiatrists, I mean, they want to have the drugs with their thing, but can get into the mind, maybe get into some things about what happened in their past that caused them to start to cut themselves. Because, but we, the work, when we, my sister, when I and our minister, the Holy Spirit gets into that.
Yes,
he gets, yeah, exactly. Because remember, Sister April just said, it's spiritual anyway.
Yes.
So he's going to take it back to where he needs to.
Yep.
We need to let God, the problem is, a therapist is there, we talked about this before, their root beginning, the foundation is broken because they think that man is good and basically this comic just got broken here, need to fix it back up and get him back to his good. We don't understand man is evil, man is sinful. And what has happened is a manifestation of sin, and it has struck you in a way that you're acting in a way that is not becoming to the word of God. And you don't understand that. Let us spit some knowledge.
Yes.
Help you to figure this thing out. It's the word. You don't need therapy because it's wow, this is waving. Now we let you do so much, Pastor, but then, you know. We need somebody special. And I was told that in so many words, by the way, this is not just a made up story. And I'm, you know, I can't make the mother, you know, all I can do is offer. But they rather take them to a specialist. The word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Because if you want to count the little two-edged sword of the psychiatrist, psychologist, therapists and all of those things, their two-edged sword is nowhere near sharp and powerful and alive and active and powerful and energized as the word of God. Amen. Nowhere near. Not to be compared.
Hey.
Yeah, exactly. Plastic butter knife at that. And what does it do? It's able, the word of God, as far as division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. And joints and marrow, I like how I have on them notes here, is able to penetrate and pierce the deepest parts of our nature. If you have your notes there, would you have that in there? The deepest parts of our nature, things that we don't even know about ourselves.
Yes.
That's what, remember, and I thank the Lord for teaching us this, sin knocked out our ability to even know ourselves, let alone somebody else. Sin knocked that out. But the word of God through the Holy Spirit can restore part of that. I know I've learned more about myself in the last 19 years here at Word of Life than I have in the previous 40 years before. I know that.
Amen.
And when you begin to understand yourself, you're like, ooh, wee. Amen. So David said, amen. It's not cute. But you know what? At least you begin to understand yourself.
Yes.
Because one of the things that we have a blind spot to ourselves, our sins, our shortcomings. We see everybody else's.
Yeah.
That's what Jesus spoke about in Matthew 7. He said, you want to get the speck of sawdust out of somebody else's eye, you got a telephone pole in your eye. We don't see our faults and our sins. But the word of God helps us to do that. That's why this series is judging our thoughts, which is the next part of that. So able to both joints and marrow, the deepest parts of our nature, and is able to judge, which means to expose, sift through, analyze, determine what is good or bad. Love that. Our thoughts, which means to ponder and think about and reflect and the, even the hidden thoughts of the heart, which only God knows. It's able to get even there. Nobody else knows, but God knows. And intentions of the heart, that which we conceive, the conception thing that we think about in our head and heart that only God knows. The word of God gets in there. Yeah. Why do we do what we do? Why do we think what we think? Why do we say what we say? Why do we act a certain way? Why do I react this way to this situation? I want to know that. Because when I act a certain way to this situation, it's always ugly. And I don't like that. What's going on, God, Father God, in me that called me to act that way to this? Just being transparent. I don't like being talked down to and disrespected. I don't like that. But I got to learn to not be so sensitive to that. And the Lord has worked with me on that very thing. Telephone, front of, I don't like it. And when I don't like it, my attitude starts to go sour. I don't cuss, but I'll get a little salty with you. May talk over top of you talking, because I feel you disrespected me. I don't like that. But your God said, you disrespected me, and I don't like that. So sit your little rock head down, you know, get it together, because what's going to happen is when you get salty, then what happened? You disrespected me. They disrespected you, and you disrespected me. Now both of y'all disrespected me. Because I don't like that they're disrespecting you. I don't like it either. But then you go right back at them, and disrespected me too. Son, think about me. Think about me with the Lord. God, what, Sister Pookie? Inside my name. He's right here. Is he not there? Listen to all your disrespect.
Yes, indeed.
I said, Lord, I think too highly of myself. You know, I've been working on being more humble. I've been really trying to just, but I know that when the reason that riles me up, because where I think about myself. Yes. And he reminded me, think of the Lord Jesus Christ. He would just keep reminding me, think of Jesus, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Isaiah, Apostle Paul, the who's who, the greatest men in that ever walked the face of the earth. Who are you to not be disrespected? They got disrespected. Who you, dude? You ain't all that. The root of that is pride.
Yes.
And I had to face it. I had to bow down to it. Because I didn't like it. Now, I thank God that he moved on me to go to him for real about that. Because I don't like being like, I don't like being ugly. I don't like acting ugly. I don't like being imprisoned by stuff. I want those things to happen so I can work on being calm and walking it through.
Hey.
And it's working. Hey. It's working. DTE, I was talking to DTE for 3 months. The same thing kept happening every month about our bill. It's every month. I've been on the phone for hour and a half. Next month, same thing. Hour. One certain now, what's your problem? What? ma'am, if you can just look at the notes, should be several pages. It's going to be on the phone for about an hour and a half. What's the problem? That's going to take me 2 years to tell you that. Just read the notes. So you go through that in January, go through that in February, you go through that in March, over and over again. I'm like, hold up. But you know what? Every month I got calmer. Because of the word.
Yes.
Because of this word right here. And because of this series. This series, each month I got calmer. And I was in such a calm mode that even when I came out of the little room there, because we were at work, I was still, I was talking to my wife, and I said, yeah, baby, I was still talking like that. Because I've been talking like that for about an hour and a half. So just like in the movie, I was still in character. You know, baby, it was really great. I was so happy. I don't know if you remember that. Yeah.
It's just so calm. It works. I love it. It's freedom in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
As black Christians, I know it's not a thing, but just for sake of discussion, as black Christians, you are free. We are free. We are free at last. And Jesus brought about that freedom.
Amen.
I'm not tied to nobody but God. My allegiance is to the Lord Jesus Christ. I pledge allegiance to Him and Him alone. He's the one who set me free. We could sit on the phone month after month after month concerning the same. And we're going to send you, escalate it to the next step, on and on, and come back on the bill. Same exact thing. I said, Lord, you testing me. You testing me? Amen. Yes, ma'am. That's right. You can pass or fail. Pass or fail. So, we talked about a few things here, but bottom line is the Word of God. Continue in the Word of God. And by that, I try not to spit platitudes like that without really, because Jesus said, continue the Word. Okay, me, I like things explained. Yeah. I like over-explaining things. So that's why I teach the way I want to be taught, by the way. I want everything explained, over-explained. Mm-hmm. To stay in the Word means to meditate, speak it, meditate, and do it. It's Joshua 1 and 8. Mm-hmm. You never get away from those three things. Speak it, meditate it, and do it. Mm-hmm. Meditate is to hear it and hear it and hear it. And then think about what you heard. So it's hear, 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 then think, think, think. And hear, 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 then think, think, think. Believe me, as it saturates your soul, you're going to do, 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 and you're going to speak, speak, speak. But you got to get your mind glad, that last heal anointing. Get your mind right. And that's what the Word of God does. You stay on the phone, hour and a half for the same thing, same people, over and over again. And then each time you tell them, I'm going to take care of this. I'm going to take care of this. The testing of your faith produces patience. Y'all, homework assignment. Because I'm still with mine. I told you mine. Mine is a continue working on when I'm disrespected to stay godly. And remember those who were disrespected before me. Because that's Matthew 5, 12. Matthew 5, 12. Matthew 5, 12. Just right quick. I know we're out of time and overtime. But Matthew 5:12, glory be to God. You want to join that company up there. Jesus helping us out. Matthew 5:12-11. Blessed are you when others insult you, persecute you, and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice, verse 12, and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. But here it is. For so they persecuted, troubled, harassed, and molested the prophets who were before you. What do I say to that? You're in good company.
Amen.
When you're condemned and talked about and talked down to and disrespected, you're in good company. For so did they do that to the prophets who were before you. Who are they? Your brothers and your sisters who came before you.
Amen.
That's what the Lord keeps bringing back to me, this verse. Along with the life of Jesus. Lied on him. Said he was a drunkard. He was crazy. Lied on him. Constantly, consistently, continually. That's where Hebrews 12 comes into play. Verse 3. Looking unto Jesus, all the finisher of our faith. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised and ashamed, and is set on the right hand of God. Because for consider him, verse 4 says, who endured, he said, for you have not yet resisted to blood against sinners. You ain't bleed. Anybody beat you? But what are you saying with that? Chill out. Chill out, relax. I got you. You ain't that important. You are to me, because I died for you. But you need to kind of get her more accurate estimation of who you are in your eyes. So that would preach. Not to too many churches, but that would preach here.
I wish I could say that again. A more accurate estimation of who you are. We need to get more who we are, who we think we are. You be disrespected. It ain't fun. It ain't going to be joyous. You can still ain't that godly. I'm talking to myself. You just listen to me. And so what you do is you pick out, if Lord haven't picked out, told you already, something that you know just that sets you off. And you pray on that. Pick one thing this week. Now until next Wednesday, you pray on it every day this week, and I hope it happens to you. I know that's tough, but I hope it happens to you, but for your own good, because you want to see that you're getting better in that area. You don't want any area to shackle you,
amen,
to hold you back, to chain you up, to imprison you. What bothers you? What sets you off? What pushes your buttons? Meaning, what bothers you to the point that it caused you not to be like Christ Jesus. That's the point I mean.
Amen.
I say, Father God, bring it on. I'm shaking in my boots when I say that. But I thank you. You're going to be with me.
Amen.
Look at that. Look, April just gave. You're going, it's scary.
Yeah.
It's scary. But we want to be like Christ. Amen, amen, Brother Chris? Want to be like Christ. Want to be like Christ. We really want to be like. Word of Life wants to really be like Christ. I'm saying we that's our aim, that's our direction, that's our goal, that's our objective. We don't always hit it, but we still want to be like. I believe everybody in here really wants to be like Christ. And one of the ways to be like Christ is when you're not getting your way, things aren't going your way, you're being disrespected, you're being condemned, you know, being looked down on, you're being, you know, people talk down to you. That's just, those are things that just, those are button pushes for me. Then I was like, I know that. What you? I know that. You probably don't know this, but 2 + 2 = 4. Amen. Father God, we're just being real. We're keeping it real before you, because you already know. You already know. You already know. We're going to search our hearts and just lift up one thing before you, just one. And Father God, it, to be honest with you, I want everybody to already, maybe possibly, sort of kind of realize you already been dealing with them about it. And they need to just fully acknowledge that this does bother me and causes me to be ungodly and bring shame to your name while trying to uphold my name and fight for my name. I'm bringing shame to yours. That's a problem. Help us, Lord God. Help us. You said we can come boldly, that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. So then we're saying, help us. We need help in this area. We need help in this area. That's why we're holding and hiding your word in our hearts in abundance, that we may not sin against you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.